just anybody. Be blimp-worthy. Goodyear, more driven.
And ladies and gentlemen, that is why it is so tough to call and figure out bowl games. We'll talk Iowa in the Outback Bowl. We'll talk Iowa State in the Alamo Bowl. And a whole lot more coming up on a Wednesday. First edition of 2019 Gym Class right here on KGYN. Happy New Year to everybody out there as we come your way from our studios in the southwest side of Cedar Rapids on this sunny Wednesday, January the 2nd, 2019. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Gazette, Kyle Mann, our producer here today. We are presented by Third Base Brewery, located at the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids. Happy New Year to all the folks over there. On the northeast side, we do appreciate them. They are locally owned and operated. We invite you to stop on by, have some terrific lunch, just get together after work, whatever your plans are, stop on by. Third Base Brewery, located at Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids. Ton to get to in the program today. We are going to talk about yesterday's Outback Bowl, last Friday's Alamo Bowl. Bowls. We'll do that. Get caught up with what happened over the holiday break since the last time we talked with you out there in Eastern Iowa back on Friday. Mark Ironside's going to join us as well in about a half hour. We'll go over what happened in Hoffman Estates over the weekend at the 2018 Midlands Wrestling Tournament. Some very interesting storylines coming out of there. Good afternoon and Happy New Year to you, Mark.
You as well, Scott. Listeners, great to be with you. Get gym class started for 2019. And yeah, since last we talked, so much has happened. You've outlined some things, and Tyler Trent passing, Steve Alford getting fired. Those are going to...
Megan Gustafson breaking records.
Yeah.
Male, female, intramural. Whatever the case may be in Iowa City, I think Megan.
I don't know about intramural.
I know that she doesn't have the intramural record because I played against some guys that shot the ball a whole lot more than Megan Gustafson did. Let's just say that. So I think the intramural record is tucked away for a little while longer, but that might be the only one she doesn't get.
A lot to absorb today. We'll have pick six results, Eagles Hideaway pick six, and a Bowling Night in America preview.
It's Wednesday.
It is.
I had to get that through my thick head this morning.
I think everybody did.
That it is Wednesday here today. Yes, Tyler Trent passing, and everyone's condolences going out to just a terrific young man, whether you're a Purdue fan or not. Just an inspiration to everybody out there, certainly. And we've had only 2 days into 2019, and we've had two more significant passings today. Even if you're not a wrestling fan, I think you know who Mean Gene Okerlund is.
Mm-hmm.
He was the speaker, the voice of then the WWE, whatever, I don't know.
Pick a letter.
Anyway, yeah. Mean Gene was the guy that did all the interviewing, and he passes away today at the age of 76. And then the comedian Daredevil Super Dave Osborne, Bob Einstein, passing away today at the age of 76. Didn't know a lot of the background. He was a writer going way back on some of the early, some great shows. Laugh-In, I believe he was a writer for that show. Some Dick Van Dyke early comedy as well. Made his name as the comedian Daredevil. He was a very dry sense of humor guy. Appeared David Letterman, helped really launch his career, and was seen on Curb Your Enthusiasm recently as Marty Funkhauser, but he passes away today at the age of 76.
Didn't know a lot about him, but read stories today, and I'm not a big Curb Your Enthusiasm fan, so...
Go look at some of his YouTube videos and some of his Letterman appearances, and then also his... his stunts.
Mm-hmm.
Those are pretty captivating. His thing on the Letterman show was he would just go on there and Dave would try to, you know, be Dave and make him laugh, and he was a comedian that wouldn't laugh on the show, and that was his bit. As far as Letterman is concerned. And then he'd always have some sort of a big stunt at the end that no one could see coming. And good stuff right there. But they both pass away today at the age of 76.
As far as Tyler Trent goes, Iowa, of course, plays Purdue tomorrow in West Lafayette, and reports out that Iowa is going to wear special warm-up jerseys, Tyler Trent-themed.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be... That's going to be a tough one for everybody over in West Lafayette, certainly. And like we said, our condolences going out to the Tyler Trent family out there. 319-366-1600, that is Hurtina Stocker Jewelers text line. If you'd like to get in touch with us, I have a feeling there may be a few people to do so. You can also reach us via the phone lines at 319-366-1600. There was a bowl game yesterday, Mark.
Yes, several.
And... as I started the program with today, if you try to make your living betting on college football bowl season, good luck to you out there. I say that after I went 5-1. but only four of those were college football games, mind you. Strange day yesterday. Strange night on Friday down at the Alamo Dome for Iowa State. If you woke up yesterday morning and were told that the Iowa Hawkeyes would rush for minus 15 yards, would give up nearly 200 yards rushing, would be 1-for-11 on third down conversions, what would you say the final score would be?
It wouldn't be pretty.
No.
But then you left out some other statistics. No penalties for Iowa. 90 yards in penalties for Mississippi State. Stupid, undisciplined mistakes on the part of Mississippi State. An excellent defense, winning defense for Iowa. Had Iowa not committed two turnovers at the start of the second half, I told you I didn't get the feeling Mississippi State was equipped to run down the field on a long scoring drive, let alone a couple against Iowa. And it was Stanley's interception and the fumble on the kickoff that gave Mississippi State great opportunities and the lead for a while. But I thought the defense was outstanding. And, you know, the storylines, two walk-ons and Nick Easley and Jake Gervais. I mean, Gervais is being made out a hero. Mississippi State guy dropped the ball in the end zone.
And gave it right to him.
It wasn't like Gervais made a great play. But easily had a game. And then you got second teamers like A.J. Epinesa and Chauncey Golston making huge plays. I mean, come on. Epinesa's not a second teamer. He just doesn't start.
Second teamer for Iowa, first team all Big Ten out there.
And you talk about walk-ons or former walk-ons. Nobody's really mentioning Miguel Racinos, former walk-on from Mason City, who had, I don't know how I'd categorize his career, I'd say solid.
Oh, very solid. Very solid.
17 out of 22 this year, including 8 for 8 from between 40 and 49 yards, including two yesterday. Those two field goals, arguably the difference in the game. Never missed an extra point in his career.
And those are going to be big shoes to fill.
Yeah.
Next year for the Iowa football team.
But yeah, it was a weird day. You have to credit Iowa's defense, I think. Timely passing plays, although not a great offense by any means.
Was it more Iowa winning that game or Mississippi State losing that game?
That's a good question.
319-366-1600, if you'd like to weigh in.
72-95 on the text on Iowa handled the adversity that arose during the game better than the Bulldogs. Gervais was in the right place at the right time. Answer this poll question, KGYMRadio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway, our first of the new year. How will you remember the Iowa football season? We give you four choices. Satisfying with a bowl win. Solid but not great. A season of what-ifs. Or unremarkable. Thanks to Emo's Hideaway, First Avenue Southeast and Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's.
That was your typical Iowa win yesterday. Everyone around the country that is not associated with the Iowa Hawkeyes right now is still scratching their head and going, how in the world did that happen? I'm still scratching my head and wondering how in the world Iowa won that football game yesterday. You get a big pass play to Easley, where Mississippi State absolutely messed that one up. Terrible defensive play there. Another Iowa touchdown where Mississippi State gave Iowa 30 yards in just dumb penalties. Stupid penalties.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't give that. Like we talked about before, you can't turn the ball over X number of times. You can't shoot yourself in the foot and expect to win a football game.
Back to the text line, 89-23. Are you kidding me? That wasn't a great play from the end zone. It's called discipline. It's called practice. Excuse me. It's called using your mental capacity. That was a great play. I'm sorry, the guy dropped the ball. And Gervais is another texter. Mentioned was in the right place at the right time.
He got beat.
Gervais got beat bad.
He got beat. And it just happened that, hey, things were shining his way.
Listen, Gervais had an excellent career coming from a walk-on.
Had a good game yesterday.
Had a good game, knocked away the last pass. I'm not dogging on Gervais, but you can't tell me that was a great play. It was a fortunate play.
319-366-1600. Nate Stanley had a very good day yesterday, I thought, for the most part. Missed a couple passes, but
not everybody thought that, but I pointed out three touchdown passes.
Indeed.
Sure, a blown coverage by Mississippi State, but took advantage of it.
Yes, he did. 21 of 31, I want to say, that Stanley put together. And if it wasn't for that, there was no chance for Iowa, because when you run for minus 15. Mikel Sargent was a non-factor in the game yesterday. All three of Iowa's running backs were non-factor. Mississippi State threw blanket coverage on TJ Hawkinson for a lot of that game. Iowa did finally find him in the fourth quarter, and I think helped to solidify the win yesterday. But everyone was wondering where was TJ Hawkinson through all that.
You got to credit Mississippi State for that, I think.
Their front four is really good.
Sweat and Simmons are the real deal. There's no doubt about that.
Really, really good. And that's why it's hard to pick bowl games.
Mm-hmm.
Who would have thought Texas was going to do to Georgia what they did last night to Georgia? From Bevo coming out and going after the Bulldog right away. Poor Carlos. We're going to have to console him tonight at Bowling Night in America.
Darren on the text line. I'll tell you one thing, Mississippi State, they play dirty and they can't shut their mouths. A lot being made of the hospital visit.
Yeah.
Where Mississippi State was gloating about All-Americans and draft picks and this and that. And it got back to the Iowa camp. And, you know, whether that motivated Iowa even more, who knows?
Nick Fitzgerald just was not terrific yesterday. Passing the football. I had a couple of drops there, but he missed some open guys yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe Moorhead basically reverted to him running the football. Tried to run it in from a yard and a half out three times yesterday, and the Iowa defense solidified, stopped him all three times, held Mississippi State to a field goal. That was another big portion of that game yesterday, along with the drop pass in the fourth quarter. They couldn't get it in from a yard and a half away on three different occasions. And you got to give the Iowa defense a lot of credit as far as that is concerned.
I agree. Two or three more text coming in, 6109. Iowa won that game with great discipline, preparation, special teams, and field positions. Well, I don't know.
The punting wasn't great.
Punting wasn't great, but 78-26, Gervais dropped two other interceptions he should have had. I agree he was in the right place at the right time. Iowa won by capitalizing on Mississippi State mistakes. Mistakes are a part of football, and Iowa won that game yesterday. 72-96, the season would be remembered as the year where the little errors that added up to mistakes that cost games. I think the coaches will really focus on those things. Even the plays where the ball bounced into Iowa's hands that shouldn't have gone the way of the Hawks would be looked at. Rushing for minus 15 yards will not win any conference games. That is a glaring issue I see going forward.
By the way, how about the Big Ten West?
4-1.
How about the Big Ten West? Huh? The much maligned little brother to the East. And if Ohio State had five more minutes, Urban wouldn't have gone out with a victory. Kyle's very happy he did, though. Or at least Washington made it very close there at the end of the game. He's very happy.
47-02, painting a positive spin on Iowa's rushing. In regards to negative rushing yards, minus 18 of the yards were sack yards. We technically were plus three.
Always have that. It's sunny today. Despite the fact it's 22 degrees or whatever the case may be. 3:19. We're going to talk to Mark Ironside coming up in just a little bit. We're going to take a break, come back. We're going to dive into last Friday night's Alamo Bowl with Iowa State and Washington State, a 28-26 victory for the Cougars of the Pac-12. We'll talk about that, talk a little bit more about the Hawkeyes, talk some wrestling with you as well. It is a Wednesday edition of the Gym Class, January the 2nd, 2019. Thanks for joining us. We're presented by Third Base Brewery. Back with more after this on KGYM.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all-your-favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
We were naive about all things money.
And we maybe put money into places and paid things that we thought were the most important thing, but maybe necessarily big picture weren't always the biggest and best thing to do.
We were just so tired of renting, and you know, we rented at several places. We felt like it was time, we needed help. And so we talked to Joe at DuPaco. That opened the door to us doing a money makeover. It put everything in black and white right before us. We were getting close. We knew we had the right amount of income. We knew that our credit scores had skyrocketed. We just need to find that right home.
Did the application through DuPaco. Joe was able to get us pre-approved, I think, as we were sitting in her office.
We came into the house for the first time. It was awesome. We're so thankful that we had the tools that DuPaco gave us.
Learn the whole story at dupaco.com/impactful. Equal housing opportunity.
Get out of the cold and warm up with the Cedar Rapids Colonel's annual Hot Stove Banquet. Wednesday, January 23rd, join the Colonel's at East Bank Venue and Lounge in downtown Cedar Rapids. Enjoy dinner, a silent auction, and the Minnesota Twins Winter Caravan, which will be emceed by Twins radio broadcaster Corey Provis and include Twins Minor League Player of the Year Alex Kirilloff. The Colonel's 1994 Midwest League Championship team will also be honored. Tickets are $50, and all proceeds will benefit the Colonel's Take the Lead Community Initiative Program and the Colonel's Foundation. Get your tickets now at colonels.com.
Is she driving you crazy planning this wedding? Tell her about the Z102.9 Wedding Show, Sunday, January 13th at the Doubletree by Hilton in downtown Cedar Rapids. She can talk to vendors and watch a fashion show. It's free. Find out where to get a registration card and other stuff at kgymradio.com.
Back in the Gym Class here at KGYM as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. Local programming getting underway. Hey, before we, as we talk football here, we're on the cusp of basketball getting underway. Conference basketball, Iowa State on the road to open the Big 12 tonight. For the men, the Iowa State women at home They take on K-State to open women's play, but the Iowa State men will be at Gallagher Iba tonight to take on Oklahoma State. We'll have it at 7 o'clock on 1600 AM with the pregame and 8 o'clock with the tip-off. The UNI men open tonight as well. They're in Peoria to take on the Bradley Braves. We've got that at 7 o'clock on 107.5 and 106.3 FM.
We have a traffic announcement from our friend Joe on the text line. There's some sort of accident on 380 South in the S-curve. Traffic backed up.
Be careful. Be careful out there. 319-366-1600. Going to be talking with Mark Ironside in about 12 minutes or so. Talk some wrestling, talk Midlands, and we'll do that here in just a little bit. We talked to Iowa. We are nothing if we're not equal opportunity in 2019. Mark, Iowa State last Friday night, the exact opposite of the Iowa Hawkeyes for the most part. Iowa State, over 500 yards of total offense, moving the ball all over the place, but three turnovers, including two interceptions, seven false starts. And I know one not called on Washington State that was very big, but you don't know if Washington State would have scored or not on that particular drive, as far as a touchdown is concerned. I know what everyone believes about the officials. But you can't have seven false starts in basically a home game. And they Mississippi State a little bit, although not the discipline problem. Although Iowa State had two guys that were ejected from the game for targeting. It was a very strange Friday night in San Antonio.
Yeah, statistically it was Iowa State's game. But the only statistic matters, of course, is the final score, 28-26, Washington State with the victory. Got 10 penalties on Iowa State, the three turnovers. Hakeem Butler was brilliant. Purdy was pretty good.
Montgomery was good.
The defense didn't allow Washington State anything on the ground. Did it take away anything from Iowa State's season? I really don't think so. Very competitive with the 13th-ranked team in the country and an 8-5 season. You can accept that.
You can accept that. It's a little bit of a bitter taste to leave in your mouth, though, for Iowa State fans out there. Iowa and Iowa State both in the situation of what's going to happen now with some of their top-tier talent. It sounds like Hakeem Butler is all but gone. Hasn't made the official announcement from him. I don't think I saw that over
I haven't seen that either.
Over the break. Montgomery may be leaning toward going pro at this point. And Iowa State had numerous opportunities to win that football game.
They did.
And they just, whenever they needed something to go their way, it just did not go their way. And I know there were targeting in that game, but as Alex and I were talking about in the sports office earlier on today, the first targeting, no problem with that. First of all, Iowa State's got to stop tackling high. That's the first thing. They do a lot of tackling high. I think that needs to be taken care of in the offseason a little bit. Technique, changing up things like that. Secondly, in 2018, 2019, you can't touch the quarterback in the head.
Mm-hmm.
That's all there is to it. If it was a defensive lineman, talking about the second ejection, the second targeting, which was actually buzzed from upstairs. That was not the Big Ten crew that made that call. That was buzzed from upstairs. But if that was a defensive lineman hitting an offensive lineman or whatever, no problem. But it was a quarterback, and you can't hit a quarterback in the head in 2018.
Big part of today's game. There's no question about it. We saw it you see it in almost every game. Whether there's ejections or not, there's certainly reviews, as there should be, I think. It's a difficult call in the moment for officials, I think, and that's why it's important to have replay. And once again, I've said it many times that, you know, these players are moving. It's not like some of these defensive players intentionally lead with the helmet and cause helmet-to-helmet contact. But players know that these days.
I saw more ejections and more targetings over the bowl season than I did all through the year, the college football regular season. Yesterday, LSU had three guys.
Mm-hmm.
LSU was down to former wide receivers that were being redshirted, were now thrown in as corners in the Central Florida game yesterday. And LSU still should have won that thing by four touchdowns. That was a crazy, crazy day. Every time you looked, there was another LSU defensive back hurt or being thrown out of the game for a targeting penalty.
Yeah.
And if you talk about referees have a tough, tough job. And it's getting tougher each year because they've had more things thrown at them as far as judgment calls are concerned. And I wouldn't want to do it. I wouldn't want to do it. And it's almost to a point now you're thinking, man, is it going to be that you're going to have just drones out there and you're going to have several referees in the press box looking at several things on the field and they just buzz down when there's a penalty? I don't know. Are we coming to that soon?
Darren on the text line pointing out Texas had two players ejected on consecutive plays.
Yes.
Yeah.
And second one I don't think was a targeting. Just saw a ton of that over the weekend. Mm-hmm. It was crazy. And by the way, we got Alabama Clemson playing for the national championship yet again, which I don't know if it's good or bad for college football at this point.
Missed opportunities for Iowa State as we closed the book on the Cyclone season. And it was an entertaining game. It was a tough loss for Iowa State.
17 wins between Iowa and Iowa State this year, mm-hmm. though. That's pretty good for a state of our size. And with a lot of guys from our state playing for those two institutions. I think that says a lot about the status of high school football in the state of Iowa right now. And then you got other guys playing for other teams out there. So I think things are very healthy right now as far as football is concerned. Friday, we're gonna talk about the top stories of 2018 because there were a ton of them this year. I know J.R. Ogden chronicled them a couple days ago in the Gazette, and I'm sure we'll go over some of those when we get reactions from people and get their thoughts on Friday. But
mm-hmm.
Certainly football has got to be up there with both Iowa and Iowa State.
Usually is because it's so closely followed by the fans out there. By the way, the poll question right now in regards to Iowa's football season, it's 50-50 between a season of what-ifs and solid, but not great.
But 9 wins, do you just dismiss 9 wins? I think that's a pretty darn good season.
It is, but you got to look at those 4 losses as well. Those are big what-ifs. And how it could have been even that much better. No, 9 wins is nothing to sneeze at all. Many programs would take that. It's the 7th time a Kirk Ferentz team has won 9 or more games?
I believe so, yes.
It's pretty good.
And I know people in West Virginia would take it. By the way, they just Dana Holgorsen going from West Virginia to Houston is one of the strangest things that you've seen in a while as far as the world of college football is concerned. He was never really loved in Morgantown. And he was a coordinator at Houston, so he's going back there.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't have to win 10 games a year to be loved in Houston. Just needs that.
That's an interesting program. Whether it's a better program than West Virginia, I don't know, but
It can't be.
It's an interesting program in my mind.
Who's West Virginia going to get, and what are going to be the expectations as far as the Mountaineers are concerned
mm-hmm.
as they move on now? As Dana Holgorsen has been the only guy, he's been the only sheriff in Morgantown all through the Big 12 for West Virginia. He kind of pulled the football equivalent of an Alford. Going from Iowa to New Mexico. I think I'll just go to Houston and see how things go. Didn't turn out well for Stevie after all these years.
No, it didn't. On the text line, 7295, kudos to Matt Campbell for saying that before halftime. The replay crew did miss some plays. Targeting will always get looked at. year in and year out. Campbell had every right to be mad at the second targeting call. Contact was made to the helmet, but it was not forcible, in my opinion.
Doesn't have to be. Doesn't have to be. It's just contact to the quarterback's helmet. And to be honest with you, Iowa State could have had another one. The pass incompletion in the first half on the sideline where Peavy kind of launched himself and hit the receiver in the helmet. I thought they were going to review that, but never did. So there may have possibly been an even third one there for Iowa State.
14-24 in regards to Iowa's season. The what-ifs need to sit through a few Bob Cummings seasons. Yeah, I remember the Frank Lauterbury years as well.
Yeah, very much so. It's interesting, also talking to the world as far as the sportscasters are concerned. These sportscasters have a tough job as well doing these games because they're not around these teams. The comment I know yesterday made that kind of ruffled some feathers that Kirk Ferentz came in and turned this Iowa program around.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute.
Hayden Fry would beg to differ on that.
There's a guy in Mesquite who's probably now, granted, Hayden didn't have great years at the end, and Kirk had, you know, the one win year at the beginning of his tenure. But
from that standpoint, yeah, he turned it around. But
my favorite though was the Brock Purdy loving Dan Marino. Brock Purdy was hardly born at the end of the Dan Marino era. That was one of my favorite ones out there as well. 319-366-1600. Before we get to a break, let's bring in a couple of callers. Let's go to Brock in Cedar Rapids joining us here on Wednesday edition of the show. Happy New Year, Brock.
Hey, Happy New Year to you guys. I just wanted to make a comment real quick on the Iowa State game and one on the Iowa game. So the hard part about the referees making the call onto the second targeting call is – the quarterback's falling to the ground. The guy's going down to hit him. It's a boom, boom play, and that's the unfortunate side of it is there's so many of them that they call that are you know, even the running backs dropping their heads to run through a defender. It's a judgment call, but then the very next play, the refs missed an offensive line, a false start, which then they scored on that play, which I didn't think was fair. But I'm not a huge Iowa State fan, but I still watch the game just because it's an Iowa team. The other one was, they missed a targeting call. If you remember the Stanley run that he ran for a first down that kept a drive alive, there was a defensive player that jumped head first and collided head to helmet to helmet with Stanley out laying on the ground, which I thought was a blow.
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about.
But you remember that play?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's one of those situations that it's kind of wishy-washy on which ones they do and don't call. And at the same time, there's so much criticism of them and the calls they make. So thanks, guys. Have a good new year.
You too, Brock. Appreciate it. 319-366-1600. To go along with that, what Brock was talking about, that one of the LSU ejections last night or yesterday was a receiver for UCF jumped up. The LSU guy goes to tackle him. He comes down, and they just happen to hit heads. See, right there, I don't think that's targeting. But the LSU player was kicked out of the game for that. How did he know that the guy was going to leap, make the catch, come down? He doesn't.
As Brock said, you got two moving players on each targeting play. It's often a tough call.
Yeah. Before we get to a break, real quick, let's go to Wally. Hi, Wally.
Hi, guys. Good points, Brock. Good job. Yeah, that was the targeting call on Stanley. But here's the deal in the Iowa State game, and you cannot, or any other game that you guys watched where there was targeting. The bottom line to targeting is you cannot lead with the crown of your helmet, no matter how fast you're running, you know, if it's forceful or not. You cannot lead with the crown. Those guys were making that point. That one guy never missed a call in the one game. I forget what it was. But I tell you what really made me mad about the Iowa State game and their team was this. Campbell came in and cleaned up all that dirty play that the other coaches were coaching, especially in the Iowa State games. A lot of late hits out of bounds. This was kind of post or pre-targeting days and stuff like that. But you could plainly see that Iowa State was trying to hurt the quarterback, that. Who'd they play?
Why, Minshew, you mean?
Huh? No, that they were trying to hurt the quarterback for the other team. Iowa State was. That's the way I saw it. Okay. And Campbell came in and cleaned all that stuff up, and then two targeting calls, whether one was an easy one or and the other one was definitely blatant. But and then Campbell gets a call on him, and I really lost a little bit of respect for the guy, but I still think he's a hell of a coach. He really is. And Iowa State's lucky to have him, but, you know, yeah. They really it appeared to me that the Iowa State team on defense was trying to knock the other team's quarterback out. That's how I saw it.
All right.
But
well,
anyway, close game. Both games fun to watch. I guess that's all I got to say. Good luck to the Cyclones and the Hawks coming in 2019.
Appreciate
it. And Happy New Year to everybody at the gym bag. I'm out of here.
All right. Thanks, Wally. Appreciate it. I don't know if they were trying to hurt Washington State. They were trying to make his life uncomfortable, but every defense does that. My opinion.
I would agree with that.
My opinion. All right, we'll take a break, come back. Going to talk some wrestling. Mark Ironside here in studio. There was a lot of wrestling over the break with the Midlands over in Hoffman Estates, and we're going to talk about that after an AM Extra Point. It's brought to you today by Brick Alley over in Marion. Back with more after this.
How do you after work? How about 20 beers on tap, a 180-inch big screen with stadium seating, and happy hour from 3 to 6? Yeah, that's the way you after work. At Brick Alley Pub and Sports Bar in Uptown Marion, it's the place to go with the crew. Catch some sports, blow off steam with darts or a game of pool, and take a load off. They have two rooms available for holiday party rentals, too. After work at Brick Alley Pub and Sports Bar on 7th Avenue in Uptown Marion.
An ESPN Radio Extra Point with Jason Fitz.
Playoff expansion or playoff contraction. The number of tweets I saw about this is why the playoff can't be expanded, or this is why we need to go back to two teams in the championship game. Y'all have lost your mind. Think about this. When Golden State goes on a run and they go 15-1 in the playoffs, do we suddenly look at it and say, oh, you know what? Too many teams make the playoffs. This sort of moment where we all think that whatever happens this year should cause some sort of revision into what happens with the college football playoff system is asinine. The reality of the situation is for college football, the system is four right now. If it goes to 8, people will be upset for a couple of years. If it goes to 16, people will be upset for a couple of years. But ultimately, these two teams were going to crush anybody they face this year. That's just the way it is, and it's just one of those years. Congratulations. There are two great teams in college football and then a bunch of okay teams. And that's okay. That doesn't mean everything has to change, Bobby.
It's time for some straight talk. I'm ready for it. You want the best coverage, right?
Of course. Don't want the QB throwing any deep bombs.
I'm talking about coverage on your smartphone, Wingo.
Oh, I get you now. I want the best nationwide coverage then.
Well, you'll get it with Straight Talk. The same great 4G LTE networks as the big guys for up to 30% less.
Man, you got to grab that deal and run with it.
Take it to the house.
With nationwide coverage on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks, get the Straight Talk $45 unlimited plan with 15 gigs of high-speed data. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Pros in the know start with Lowe's, because Lowe's makes it easy for pros to save on the supplies they need. Save on your next kitchen or bathroom job with 40% off select American Olean tile and enhance the look of any property. Plus, you can save time by ordering what you need at lowesforpros.com and pick up your order in store. So, pro, now that you know, start with Lowe's. Offer valid through February 9th, 2019, while supplies last, U.S. only.
Here's one question that has no wrong answer. Are you going to choose the new Shell and Fuel Rewards card to be used at Shell stations, or the Shell and Fuel Rewards MasterCard that can be used everywhere MasterCard is accepted? With both, you save 10 cents per gallon up to 20 gallons every time you fill up, and you also earn 10% rebates on your first $1,200 in non-fuel purchases per year at Shell stations. See? You can't go wrong with either. Visit www.shell.us/get rewards and apply today. At participating Shell stations only. Terms and conditions apply.
When's the last time you checked your credit score? Those three-digit scores can have a huge impact on your financial life. Credit Karma can help you with free scores, free reports, and free monitoring. Credit Karma also gives you the tips, tools, and advice you need to understand your credit and how to improve it. You can even spot potential errors on your credit report. That can mean better interest rates on loans and credit cards, which can save you thousands of dollars in the long run. Signing up is completely free. No credit card needed. Visit creditkarma.com or download the Credit Karma app now.
At American Family Insurance, we help protect what you've achieved so you can fearlessly go after your dreams. For auto, home, business, and life, contact us today. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly.
American Family Insurance, Life Mutual Standard of Ohio and Wisconsin Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin, 53783.
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency, excellence in customer experience.
Yeah, we'll take you down tonight. If you're ready, ready for a fight, we'll take.
See, it's 2019, so I'll play Mark's walk-up music for him.
I like that. That gets you going. That's a good way to kick. That's a good way to kick off 2019.
It is. It's a great way
to kick. Good way to kick off any year, day, whatever. Meet, tournament.
Mark Ironside here, courtesy of Kurt Gustafson Agency of American Family Insurance, located on Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Johnson Avenue Hy-Vee. To talk a little bit of college wrestling here on a Wednesday edition of the program. We're looking at the Southern Scuffle Finals tonight. You want to duck out of things so you can watch it?
I got something going on tonight that, man, oh, man, I tell you, right in the middle of the finals that I might have to just not feel good for.
Penn State's going to win.
Well, yeah, that's a given. That's a given. Penn State, you know, they pretty much locked that up. Okie State second. Will be in there. So, but there's been a lot of good matchups. A lot of really good matchups. The 133-pound matchup between Dayton Fix and Austin Gomez of Iowa State, Dayton Fix of Oklahoma State. That's going to be a great one. And then 157 is basically a Penn State final. Nolf versus a backup Pfeiffer. Joseph and Marsteller at 165. Mark Hall versus Joe Smith of Oklahoma State. John Smith's son at 174. That'll be a great one to see. 184, really not much there. Nickel, nothing there. Heavyweight, though, is interesting because I thought Neville's made the finals, but he didn't. So Kasser, Neville's got beat by White of Oklahoma State. So there's going to be some good matchups. It'll be fun to watch. It'll be a lot of fun to watch. I think the best one's going to be 133 between Fix and Gomez.
Iowa cruising to a Midlands championship, not unexpected. A lot of folks that I talked to, what happened to Spencer Lee?
You know, that's the biggest question everybody's talking about, and there's a lot of negativity, towards the Iowa program, you know, right now after, you know, the Christmas break tournament Midlands there, and, you know, just because of some of the performances. Basically, you know, you get a couple of guys that don't do so hot, next thing you know, you know, everybody's down and out on the Iowa Hawkeyes. You know, it's crazy a little bit, but the good thing is that this was the Midlands Championships and not the NCAA Championships. So as far as Spencer Lee goes, I don't know. I watched the finals. I watched the finals match on TV. He just never really got started. He never got going. I think Rivera can't take anything away. That's
he's
a
number
lot of,
two ranked.
Yeah, and not only that, he's a very deserving number two ranked. A lot of people don't realize how good Rivera is. I mean, he is a stud. He is an absolute stud. And he came out with a game plan. He came out. He was aggressive, got in a shot, had to work really hard to finish that first shot, and just kind of took Spencer kind of, you know, off guard a little bit, you know, and kind of surprised him, I think, a little bit, and made him kind of get out of sorts after that. And Spencer just never really got anything going. And, you know, a little bit of it could be conditioning. There's no doubt about it. I know people say he's not in shape, which he's not in shape. Okay. But that's not like something that's okay. You know, it's not something that can't be fixed. But the thing is people got to realize he was very, very sick early on in the season. I'm the last one to make excuses for anybody. Okay. But he was very sick, you know, earlier on in the season. He didn't wrestle against, I don't even remember what school it was now, earlier. We brought him out against Iowa State because we had to. Purdue, I think, might have been the one that he didn't wrestle against or something, you know. And a lot of his matches are first period, you know, technical falls or whatever, and you see what happens to him early on in the season. And if he has to go second, you know, period, third period or whatever, it's going to take him a while, one, to get over the sickness that he had, you know, and to get in the room, because he missed time in the room too. And then also to get some matches under his belt where live competition matches, that's a difference, big difference between live competition and practice room wrestling. So he'll get in shape. He went through the same thing last year. If anybody remembers the Pacini match against Oklahoma State where he came out and started whipping his tail right away, and then Pacini came back and made it a really, really close match. So, but by the end of the season, he got it under control, and he felt better at the end of the season, and that's just the way that Spencer is, you know. So I just really hope that when we go to Evanston, I think it's the 27th, I believe, January 27th, that this huge matchup that everybody is, you know, kind of waiting on now, rematch of the Midlands Finals, 1-2, actually happens. That now, you know, Northwestern doesn't wrestle Rivera in order to save for, you know, Big Ten seedings, you know, or we don't wrestle for some reason if we're not, you know, perfect. We don't really have anything to lose now in a situation like that. So I just hope that to help, you know, better the sport of wrestling, that when we go to Evanston, that these two are able to lock horns and get after it and make it something exciting. The best thing that Northwestern could do is to have this match in their arena to bring fans in and create some really good excitement for Northwestern wrestling.
Iowa did have two champions, DeSanto and then Marinelli.
And they did look good. DeSanto looked really, really good. His weight class wasn't as tough as someone like Marinelli's weight class or whatever, but DeSanto just looked good from the beginning of the tournament to the end of the tournament. Really found some offense. There's a guy that never gets tired. It just stays on the offense, stays on the attack, good in all positions, neutral, top, bottom. The other guy that did really well this weekend, which I was very impressed, has really gotten to his offense, started to put a lot of points on the scoreboard, is Caleb Young at 157 pounds for us. Alex Marinelli, he's getting better. I mean, there's no doubt. The thing with Marinelli is you never had to worry about him not going out and competing. The guy competes as hard as he can compete. He just plain needs to just keep getting better technically in the sport of wrestling. And he's getting there. He's making adjustments, and it showed against Wick, who was a guy that he got beat by 13 points by last year. And he turns around, and he got beat twice by him last year. And then he turns around, and, you know, he wins that match in the finals the other night, and it was a great match. Not only the fact that he came out, he scored an explosive double leg out the get-go, but the fact that he fought off Wick's best shot when he had Marinelli's leg up in the air, and he fought off for like 30 seconds, and then Wick was not able to score that takedown. That's when I'm sitting in the living room yelling at the girls and telling them that he just won that match right there. That's when he won. But then when he got the second double leg, and he had to really fight hard and find some extra go-to juice to get that finish, he knew that that was the difference in the match. Marinelli wrestled a phenomenal match. He did really, really good, and that's a big turnaround for a guy like Alex Marinelli from last year. Now he's the one with the target on his back, and it's going to be it's now Wick's going to be, you know, coming after him, obviously, too. And we wrestled Wisconsin this year, so that's going to be a big match come February.
One of the really good stories was Caleb Young's backup, Jaron Glosser, who lost in the first round. And what did he win, 6 or 8 consolations in a row?
Yeah. He lost first round, came all the way back for fourth.
On the podium.
Yeah, he came all the way back for a fourth-place match, or third-place match, ended up getting fourth. But that's a lot of matches to come all the way back on, and it's not easy to do. And that just goes to show, you know, his mentality, what type of kid that he is. That's, like I said, it's not easy. And not tooting my own horn, but I know it's not easy because – my freshman year, I had to do that. I lost.
Easy to live on the backside of that bracket.
It's not. I remember. That's one of the main things. That's one of the things I do remember from college is that I went to the Midlands for the first time when I was a freshman and lost not just first round, but the pigtail round. And I was so mad, so pissed.
I can only imagine.
Like, you have no idea. Like, I was not a good sportsman. I didn't do it on the mat, but behind the scenes. I remember that it was behind the bleachers in Welsh Rhine Arena, just livid. And Gable comes over and he puts his hand on my back. He's trying to, you know, talk to me a little bit, whatever. I didn't care what he said. All I asked him was, can I still come back? And what's the best I can get? Can I still come back and get third? He goes, one match at a time there, stud. One match at a time. I was like, what can I get? Can I still come back and get third? Is that the best I can get? And he goes, yeah. And I said, well, that's what I'm getting. And battled all the way back for third. And it was a long haul. I mean, it felt like you were wrestling every hour on the hour. It just... It made for a long 2 days, and I do not recommend that avenue to third place.
No. should Hawk fans be worried about Stoll again?
I don't think so. I honestly think that was kind of planned by disguise.
Okay.
You know, I think it was a situation where you just go, you get him a couple of matches, and then defaults out. I think that that was probably, and I don't know that 110%, but that's probably what they were kind of planning on doing from the get-go. And so, but no, I wouldn't really be worried about Stoll. I know that Cassiope. I always have the hardest time with that name. you know, I don't want to ever say there's always, you know, a positive and a loss, or it's, you know, it's good to lose once in a while, blah, blah, blah. But I think that it will do him some good that I think he started maybe believing all the hype a little bit. He's good. There is no doubt about it. But I think this will make him realize, because he's not going to be able to wrestle for a while now. This was the last tournament that he'll probably have a chance to wrestle in for a while, and let him know that there's a lot of work to be done. And more so than anything, you know, the match I seen him lose, the first one against the kid from Campbell, he, you know, I just didn't like how he handled it when he started getting behind and had to face a little bit of adversity, and then all of a sudden he just kind of put his head down a little bit and gave up a takedown way too easily, and didn't really have a whole lot of fight in that situation. So there's definitely some growing up there, you know, for him to do, and just getting better as a wrestler all around. But, you know, sometimes losses, especially as a true freshman and at that age, and it's good for you. And you go back into the room where you got some phenomenal workout partners, as he does in the room, and you get back after it.
How about Tanner Sloan? Getting to the finals.
That was a big, 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 big tournament for
Former
Tanner.
Former Albernett guy.
Yeah, I really liked seeing that there out of Tanner Sloan. Known that kid since he was little grade school wrestling and coming up through, and just an awesome. He's just an awesome kid. I mean, you're talking about a kid that, you know, would get up every morning, basically 365 days a year, and go do his chores at like 4:30 in the morning, and then go to weightlifting practice or football practice or wrestling practice or whatever it was, and then come home, do your chores at night. He's so big into showing sheep, and he's basically made a business out of it for himself, and just a really, really good, grounded, small-town Iowa kid as a true freshman that wrestled extremely well at the Midlands Championships. Kind of got it handed to him in the finals there. He was kind of outmatched there, but it was good to see him come as far as he did. I know that everybody's kind of like shocked about the Warner thing and, you know, Tech falling Warner. I think it was like 19-3 or something. I don't know what was up with Warner, but he didn't look good. I mean, not only that match against Tanner, just the whole tournament, his body didn't look good. You know, I don't know if the Christmas break took a toll on him and he just didn't work out over Christmas break like he should have or whatever, but he just didn't look fresh and ready to go and ready to compete at that level for a couple of days. And maybe he was letting the ranking get into him. You know, I think he was ranked like fourth or something, which I have no clue how he got to be ranked fourth so fast. I mean, he only has a couple of matches under his belt. And but you know he was, and so I mean it's good for him too. And like I said earlier, I'd rather have us have a not so great performance at the Midlands Championships than say at the Big Tens or the Nationals. And I think that you're going to see a lot of good things come out of the Hawkeyes. I think by the end of January, the Hawkeyes are going to be rolling, and they're going to be rolling well, as long as we can keep people healthy. Mitch Bowman will get better and better every time out at 174, making that weight more often. And I know that they're in a really nice, solid two-week training phase right now that's obviously going to help their conditioning factor quite a bit and fine-tuning some things. So, and that was by design, I know, that Coach Tom Brand said. So when he saw on the schedule that they had like next weekend off, that he didn't schedule anything there for this coming weekend on purpose. He wanted that weekend off so he can train through this weekend and after the Midlands and stuff. And it's hard. We were talking a little bit about it before we went on air. You know, why can't we get better teams to the Midlands Championships? And that's not to take any away from you and I who had a good tournament. but the teams at the Midlands aren't quite as good as what they are at the Southern Scuffle. And I think a little bit of that has to do with just the Midlands are always just a few days after Christmas, and it doesn't give you much of a turnaround once Christmas is over to get travel back. The athletes have to travel back to, you know, whatever city or college that they're at from their hometown or whatever. So it's a day of travel or so in there. And then you come back and you're kind of sluggish and trying to get into it. And then next, you basically have 1.5 days of training and you're wrestling in a tournament. And I think having, you know, basically a day and a half versus, you know, 3 or 4 good days of training, like the Southern Scuffle guys, that makes a big difference. So it's a lot more appealing to these teams to be able to have an extra couple few days in their room after Christmas to train and to kind of work out the Christmas munchies, you know, fat and everything else. These kids mom's cooking and cookies and everything else. It makes a big difference to have a couple extra days right there to train to go into a tournament like the Southern Scuffle than does Chicago, you know, right after Christmas. And I think that's a little bit. But I'd really like to see some of the open guys get into it more often. Tom Sello did go and wrestle in the Midlands and ended up getting hurt early on and had to default out. But it would be nice to get some better team competition in there as well, too. And you and I, though, they had a great tournament. They really wrestled well, you know, up and down. They had a lot of finalists as well, too. So it was good that they were there because, obviously, we don't have them on our dual meet schedule. So it was good to see some UNI guys.
Yeah, it was. And we got to get to our favorite part, your favorite part of the week, and that is Bowling Night in America preview here. But always good to talk with you, Mark. Happy New Year to you and yours.
All right, you guys as well, too. Let's make 2019 a
banner year.
Yeah, banner. Banner.
Victory Lane.
Victory Lane. I like that. Let's find Victory Lane this year. Okay. That'd be nice.
There you go.
Bowling Night in America, week 17. We're past the halfway mark. Viking is the opponent tonight, second place in the league, and we'll try to turn things around. Finally, congratulations to Jake and Marion, who rode your coattails to a 5-1 week and a $30 gift card to Emil's Hideaway.
Indeed. And stay tuned. Tom Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way next on KGYM. Bay City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, Bay City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for